All right, wow, we've already had an adventure, right? Slides weren't going down, but I'm going to tell you what it is. I guarantee you it's because we need to do a software update, but the last time we did a software update right before church, man, we were wonky all church, so I just decided to leave it alone. Not going to do that. Can we get some lights on? Adriana or Tiffany, you mind going and turning on the lights? I can't see. And Jesus said, let there be light. Here we go. Already the prophecy's going off. Michael's been teaching a lot the last few Sundays of when we offer what we have to God, whether it is nothing or a lot, and we surrender it to God out of faith and obedience, God will overflow our lives in abundance. Right? And that was the main thing. But however, when we surrender, our journey doesn't stop at the surrender. Can we agree? Our journey doesn't stop when we give our life to Christ. Our journey continues on from there. God expects us to continue on in our walk with faith. Right? God tends to ask us to grow in faith. Now, who here has witnessed, come and given their life to Christ, wondered? And then once you give your life to Christ, you're wondering what's next after that. What happens after that? What is my plan and the plan and the purpose of my life from that point forward? Because we all know, we all hear it. Once you accept the Lord as your Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior over your life, that you are renewed in Christ, right? You're spiritually renewed. It's a spiritual rebirth. But what do we do from there, right? So today's going to be a message of hope. It's going to be a message of guidance, and it's going to be a message of maybe some conviction moving forward, okay? And if you guys allow me to preach that way to you guys this morning, then God's going to infiltrate your heart, right? And I could say that right now because it's going to seem like, oh, man, what is Brother Stephen talking about at this moment? But we all heard the passage of the three servants and the coins, right? If we read in our Bibles, we've heard that parable. But if we haven't heard it, we're going to read it today. So if you could turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, and we're going to read 14 through 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Ready? It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold. To the other, two bags and another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So the bag of gold from him So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So I'm gonna dive into the context of the passage, because the way that it sounded, man, that sounded like a lot of hope, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh man, here we go with the punishment, right? Okay, so first of all, we're gonna say the context of this. This passage takes place on Wednesday of Holy Week. You know, we spent a whole week on Holy Week during Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, right? But it's always good to remember what God is expecting of us as we move past His resurrection, right? So the context is this passage takes place Wednesday of Holy Week, the day before the Last Supper. It's one of His final teachings to His disciples. He gathered with His disciples in a place that they are very familiar with, the Mount of Olives, right? Just outside of Jerusalem. He's teaching on end times and His second coming and what it means to be ready when He returns. So for one, the Master is who? Jesus, right? The journey is taking is the time He will be gone, taken up, and His return, right? The servants are the believers. The talents are the resource, opportunities, and responsibility God's give us. The return return is we face the Master to give accounts for what we haven't done. That's a lot to unpack. The first thing we see is that God will never give us more than we can handle, but expects us to rely on Him rather than our own abilities. And that's number one. So when we give our life to Christ, God expects us to we become God's servant, meaning we are here to serve and do what God has called for us in faith and obedience and growth, right? So we all have a testimony, and that testimony becomes our message of what God has done in our lives, so that when we bear witness to others, we're not going out there saying, and we haven't answered that question, what has God done for me? Or why choose God? Why should I follow God? Well, we all know what God has already done in our lives, and we know those around us, right, can see what God is already doing in our lives, right? I could attest for that, because I could say about 7 or 8 years ago, I don't ever think I would be giving a sermon on a Sunday morning. And it wasn't about a short 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that I was in Henry's house waiting to get married to beautiful Adriana, and he was speaking life into me as well, all right, on what it is to be a husband. Thank you, Henry. But see, it was out of obedience of me saying, yes, I'm done. I'm wanting to serve you, Lord, with all that I got, all that I have. Being in obedience, allowing God to take what was hindering or in the way of me serving the Lord to my full capacity, and allowing myself to take that short vacation that we all know about in Fresno County Jail, right? And remove anything of my history that was going to hinder my growth process from that point forward. We knew that God was going to have to put me amongst community, that I was going to need a brother Henry, that I was going to need a Pastor Michael, that I was going to need a brother Ray, a brother Joey. I was going to need a community to be able to grow. Not only that, I mean, try to say no to Henry, he's going to come find you. Right? So, and to attest this, again, it says it will be like the man going on a journey. So Jesus is already on His journey, and we know Jesus is coming back, right? And so God has already entrusted us in the life He has given, and what are we doing with it? Where is our faith? Who are we pleading our allegiance to? We have NFL starting, right? Are we going to be in church? Are we going to miss church so we could watch that Sunday football game at 10 a.m.? I'm going to tell you this right now. your team will be there after church on Sunday. All right? And you can see the scores and highlights afterwards as well. Don't do it during church because you need to be paying attention. Right? So we need faith, obedience, growth, testimony, and community. So God knows what we can handle as we grow. Second point I want to say is that as our faith and obedience increase, so does the amount God entrusts to us, right? That's number two. As our faith and obedience increase, so does the amount God entrusts us. And we say, the man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and see. Or come and dwell in my, in your master's happiness. So, see, God will, as long as we're obedient, God will go ahead and reward us with more. I remember starting out, and I was starting out, I was a greeter while I started serving, and as I was growing in my faith and enjoying my growth in ministry to begin with. See, I can attest that as I started as a greeter and I started as in men's ministry, and I thought my ministry was going to be taking over men's ministry at LVC where we previously had church. I thought God was saying, okay, yeah, that's what you're going to do, but hold up, wait a minute. God said, we need something for the youth at LVC. Okay. And so my journey of what I thought, where I was going, God said, hey, you know what? You were faithful with a little bit. I'm going to entrust youth to you. And we started every month, kind of how we're doing here at C3, is we started meeting every month, and in the summer, we increase it twice a month. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's no greater joy as you see the growth of youth. And I will say that when you can see the growth and the joy of servitude in the youth, right? And teaching them the ways and how they operate. My testimony didn't just start. I wasn't automatically already preaching sermons because, honestly, I still have a lot to learn. I had to be willing to do the groundwork. And that's what we saw from the servant with five bags, and we saw with the servant with 2 bags, right? They were willing to go put in the work and increase in numbers and increase their gold. The gold and the talents are God's people. We got to understand that God has called us not to these 4 walls, but God is calling us to go out to the mission field and bring other souls to his kingdom. We also got to remember that we need to bring God's kingdom. It is very important that we don't save anybody. Jesus Christ does. So we need to invite and continue to invite others to God's kingdom so that they can hear a message that is going to save their life, their eternal life. And then once they get saved and they surrender their lives, then we need to come alongside them. Kind of how Brother Henry did with me. Kind of those brothers did with me. Kind of how Pastor Michael was doing with me. Kind of how we're doing with some of our brothers and sisters in each and every one of all of our, in all of our community groups. How we're doing in our youth as well. And how Sister Diane's about to do with the women. So here's the conviction part, right? I'm moving a little quick, but hey, God's moving, right? And so we're going to let him move. If we don't use the life God gave us to bring others to his kingdom, we are no different than those who are lost. If we don't use the life God gave us to bring others to his kingdom, we are no different than those who are lost. And we see that, right, with the servant with 1 bag, where he says, then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. See, God already knows, Jesus already knows what he has in us. He knows what he's already given, and he already knows the abilities that we are able to do. But God is asking us to go beyond our abilities of what we learned, beyond our qualifications, beyond our what we think is feasible. God is saying, hey, he wants us to get uncomfortable, get rid of distractions, swallow that guilt and your fears, trust that I am God, right? It's not about your expectations. It's not about you, what you expect is going to happen in God's kingdom and what God is calling you to do. It's what God has expected and called you to do, because he already has the outcome and knows what's going to happen. We are to be obedient and have faith in him. And that's the hard truth, is sometimes we're like, in church, we're like, oh man, I don't want to get up on the worship team, but oh, I have this strong, you know, or oh man, I don't want to wake up early. These cobijas are too comfortable, right? Or there's all, you know what, I don't want to go because they don't do things my way. I think we could run it this way. I think if everybody showed up at this time, then we could get done at this time. Or church goes too long, and you know what? The Cowboys are playing. Hey, I'm a Cowboy fan, guys. I know. Can I get an amen? No, I'm kidding. Right? All that is when we make everything about us and not about our Father's business, then who are we really hurting? God has given us each blessings of what we can do and use for his kingdom. He's delivered us from so much. He's already sent his son to die on a cross so that we don't have to burn in hell. We just got to accept him and then maybe say, hey, go share what God has done in our lives already to someone else. Maybe spread some hope. I've said it before. We may have to live it, but our testimony isn't for us. It's so that you could spread hope to others and bring others into the kingdom so that they too can dwell in the hope that was already given to you. See, that's the hard part, is we got to get beside ourselves. We got to get outside of what our expectations are. We got to get outside of our own circumstance. We got to get outside of ourselves. And we need to see through God's lens. So if God has you in a place and you're at work or you're at school and you see someone that needs prayer and you're all like, really, God, right now I'm about to go to recess. Or are you seriously right now, God? It's lunchtime. I don't have time to pray for this soul. That's not the Father's business. He's calling you. He's putting that in your heart. That person needs him right now. And the only way that he's going to hear from you about Jesus and get that hope is from you at that moment. See, the way this parable ends, it says, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Whoever has will be given more. So for whoever has Jesus Christ and uses the Jesus Christ and turns Jesus Christ and shares Jesus Christ and brings others to Jesus Christ so that they too can turn around and do the same, will have much more than those who decide to turn to be lukewarm with Jesus Christ, because then they will be thrown to where is eternal darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think any of us want to be there. And I don't think any of us want our family members to be there. And I don't think any of us want our friends to be there. And there's some co-workers that are like, yeah, maybe. No, we don't want them there either. All right, so let's be real. You might want to punish them, but that's your flesh. Let's see beyond our own feelings, right? Because trust me, it does get irritating sometimes. But God is there with you. The fourth point, it says God doesn't want to condemn any of his people, which is why he sent his son to save us. Again, God doesn't want to condemn any of his people, which is why he sent his son to save us. And we know that in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We know God is just. There's sometimes we need an eye opener. We know God loves us enough to send his son to come into human form to save us from eternal death. But here's the joy of it all. This has to feel good, that God wants to spend eternity with all of us, not just the ones that show up on Sunday, not just the ones that pray every day, not just the ones that know and have already accepted her. God wants to spend eternity with all of his people. That means the addict. That means the person who is lost in their anger. That means the prideful. That means the person that is committing crimes left and right, maybe even just to survive. That means people who don't look like us. God wants to spend eternity with them, and it's up to his people to reach out and bring them to his kingdom. So God wants us to bring that lost soul that's out there. This is our training field. Outside is our mission field. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The church isn't these four walls. The church is the people that when we go out, we are in a mission field to bring others to him. It feels good when you are in your Bible and in your word. It gets tough when you're in your Bible, you're in your word, you're praying God. And sometimes you're really saying, God, and you're praying, and you're thinking about it, it's like, God, where are you? I'm going through my own storm here. Well, how can I go reach someone else? Well, maybe the fact that you're able to be standing in your storm and still praise the living God, hope for someone who is already at the end of theirs, at the end of their rope, and they're ready to take their own life. As they see that you're strong and you're trusting in faith and you're still able to maneuver and cope and move forward in spirit, God is saying that hey, you need to go pray for that brother. You need to reach out to that sister. God put this parable, right? And I chose to obey this parable because it means that what? We need to be outside ourselves. We have teachers that are starting school that are having to teach our kids in these schools. We have students that have to be in these schools that are still lost and don't know who Jesus are. And the ones that are there are their first line of defense are the students who do know Christ, are the teachers who know Christ. We have people in our work field that know who Christ are, and they work with a lot of people who have a lot of secular conversations and that don't know Christ, that are from what I hear, every time I hear that chatter, is they're looking for Christ. They need to know Christ. It's a defense mechanism why they're always talking the smack and the stuff and all that good stuff, and they're loud. It's because they need to hear from Christ. And that's their outcry, and that's the only way they know how to cope. See, God sent his son to have relationship with us. However, it doesn't stop with our salvation through Jesus Christ. God created all of us for a purpose. God entrusts us to fulfill the purpose he has for our lives and take courage. Right? Take courage in the fact that if someone is going to deny you, they are not denying you. If you're about your father's business, they are denying the Lord himself. You are there to plant the seed. You are not there to save them directly. I have a sister that I've been inviting here week in and week out. And I'm almost there because I already got her daughter in the room. And she loves Jesus Christ. So when you can get your family members and you can get your friends to come to a Sunday service, just know that you are doing your Father's business and you are obeying the calling He has for you already. So maybe you're like the guy with five bags and it comes easy to serve the Lord. Everything's going great for you. And you're able to turn heads towards Christ, like if it's no other business. On the mountaintop, and others are looking up to you. I'm going to say this. It says this in Matthew 5. Let your light shine so that others may see the glory that God has done in your life, and they can give God all the glory. Maybe you're the second guy that only had two bags. You know, you don't have as many resources, but you know you're about your Father's business. And you too are bringing people to Christ. You have your struggles, but you're also being, you know, but you also know that your hope is in Jesus Christ. You know that one day you're going to be in heaven and you're going to be in God's kingdom and you're going to be that wealthiest wealth that we all expect and we're going to hear. Or maybe you're like the other servant this morning, where this message was about a conviction and an eye-opener. And you're having to do, and you want to repent, or you've never heard the fact of that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross. And you're lost and you're ready to be found. Or you've strayed away and you're done running away from God and you're ready to come back. Because nobody wants to spend eternity in darkness where there will be gnashing of teeth. If you're one of the three, which we all are one of the three at some point, we need to understand that God loves you. Jesus loves you. And we need to understand we don't save anybody. Our job is to bring them to the one who does, and that's Jesus Christ. And as I close and we're about to pray, I know I moved very, very fast. I want to spend some time in praying for each and every one of us today. I want to pray for whether we're on the mountaintop and God has just been pouring directly on us. I want to pray for you guys that you guys continue to just do God's work. Don't get too busy. Don't get too busy for doing God's work. All right, you're on the mountaintop. You're doing a great job. But as I preached in a previous sermon, when you're on the mountaintop, that doesn't mean the storm isn't coming. That doesn't mean Satan is going to allow you to just continue to live a free life of just nothing happening. Right? We're always going to need Jesus even when we're on the mountaintop. I'm going to pray that you continue to let your light shine, that others will gravitate towards you, that you can bring them and direct them to the Father. And maybe you're in that mid-grade, right? You got your stuff going on, but you know that, hey, you know what? It's just a trial and a tribulation that God has for you and for your life right now, and that you're learning some lessons right now. But God is in control and God is good and He's about to get you out of that storm. And you're having faith. You're still reading your Bible. You're still going to community group. You're still doing your thing, and praying for others as well. That mid-range group, I'm going to pray for you that God continue to give you that energy and endurance to keep pushing forward so that you too could make it to the end of the race. But the ones I really wanted to pray for, and the ones that I'm going to spend a good hard prayer on, are the ones that are in their comfort zone. That the ones that are distracted, that the ones that feel too guilty. I'm going to pray for the ones that are afraid to step out into the new. I'm going to pray for the one who has their expectations set too high, that they're allowing their own pride and their own flesh to get in the way of them really serving Jesus Christ. I'm gonna pray for the one who's caught in their own circumstance. That they want to try to do it their way, and they don't know that God is trying to free them from themselves. Because the path they're leading is a path of destruction. Let's stand, let's pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for using Matthew 25 this morning. Thank you for using it as a message of hope and joy that we all have a plan and a purpose in your life, Heavenly Father God. That you, Heavenly Father God, are not just using Christ Community Church to do your work. You're using each and every soul here to do your work. You've called them, Heavenly Father God. You've called them to continue to reach out. You've called them, Heavenly Father God, to start new ministries. You've called these souls to step out of the comfort zone, Heavenly Father God, to say yes to new things and new outcomes. God, I understand some of us have gone to and gotten our qualifications. Some of us have gone and gotten our degrees. Some of us have gone and gotten and put in the work and have worked in fields for years and years and years. And God, that we're so comfortable in doing what we're doing, or we want to be in a job or a position that has that merits the what we've gone to school for, Heavenly Father God. But God, I pray for that person, Heavenly Father God, that they can not only apply to those qualifications and say yes to you, Heavenly Father God, because it's not about their qualifications that matter, Heavenly Father God, although they're great things. It's about what plan and purpose you have for their life and what mission you need them to fulfill, Heavenly Father God. I pray over these people, Heavenly Father God, that you, Heavenly Father God, will reveal yourselves in a big and powerful way, Heavenly Father God, to those that are on the mountaintop, those that have the resource, those that do have the qualifications, Heavenly Father God, but you have a greater mission for them, Heavenly Father, that they could step off of that and start stepping into you, Lord. I pray for the mid-range, Heavenly Father God, that those that are going through their circumstance, they're going through their go-through, but trust and have faith that you are going to guide them through, Heavenly Father God. I pray for their energy and their endurance level, Heavenly Father God. I pray over their minds. I pray over their hearts. I pray over their time, Heavenly Father God. I pray over their everyday well-being. Because you, God, alone are going to see them through to your kingdom. And God, I pray that special prayer, Heavenly Father God, that we're going to pray for those that are lost. Those that have accepted you, Heavenly Father God, but decided to stay stagnant. And bury the gift and not do anything, Heavenly Father God. If that's you this morning, following this prayer, Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry that I have not lived up to what you have called me. I know that you died on the cross for me. I know that you have saved me and written my name in the book of life. I'm sorry that I haven't moved in the direction you are asking me to move. Let me recommit my life to you, and from this day forward, I promise, Heavenly Father God, from this day forward, I'm living a life after you. For the one who is lost is here for the first time and has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, follow me in this prayer. Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me for my sins and trespasses. I truly believe that you went on the cross and died for me so that I can be free. You rose 3 days later and ascended into heaven, and now I accept you as Lord over my life. And from this day forward, I promise to do my best to live a life after you. God, for the church, Heavenly Father, God, I pray, Lord, that we have a great work week. That God, that we start to see the world through your eyes, that we're seeking an opportunity to share your gospel, Heavenly Father God, that we can share our testimony, that we can share the good news of who you are and what you have done in all of our lives, Heavenly Father God, and continue to do over every Christian's life. Lord, that you're ready to do for those that are lost as well. This morning, if you recommitted your life to Christ, or you just surrendered your life for the first time, see a leader after church. Myself, Adriana, or Brother Henry, Rachel, Brother Tony. We would just want to, you know, get to know you and pray with you and just glorify us and celebrate with you. Lord, be with the rest of our week. Get us the rest we need today after church, Lord. And God, for those that our voices are fading away and some illness is coming in because school started, just give them a healing hand, Lord, that they can just feel a touch from you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you are doing in Christ Community Church and the people, Lord. Now, God, allow us to go out and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.